Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, Text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatasnatva Mahabhaga Aposhasu Samahita. Amanebhyo Dudurdenur Vasasra Gupma Malina. At Samanta Panchika, the saintly out of his bathe and then observed fast with careful attention. Afterwards, they presented Brahmins with cows bedecked with garlands, flowers, and gold necklaces. Omagana Timurandasya. Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Murtamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Karubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Itanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. So we're continuing this story. There's a solar eclipse, which is considered extremely inauspicious. I've explained that. If you're ever in India during a solar eclipse, then people are anything outside in that eclipse is contaminated. So if clothes are clean, but they're hanging on a line during the eclipse, you got to wash them again. If food's out, you have to throw it out. The deities were closed in the solar eclipse the whole day in the Krishna Bala Mandir. And people will be either inside with the blinds shut, or they will be in a holy river. So it's not uncommon during that time for people who live in the culture of subtleties of influence, things are so contaminated in the present day that, you know, if you hardly feel anything, it's hardly worth it to try to counteract. So what do you think is worse, the solar eclipse or the pollution in the air or the, you know, radioactive sound waves or, you know, the passionate society, contaminated food. But when a glass of water is sparkling clean, then a speck of dust becomes significant. When it's muddy, it doesn't. But in this culture that was so focused on consciousness, these effects would be significant. Significant. It's a fact. Ill effects are felt more by those who are pure. Those who are impure, they don't feel them. Even though they're influenced by things, in one sense, more. So they go to Kurukshetra, where Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samavetaya Yatsura. Kurukshetra is Dharmakshetra. It has power, it has influence to purify one. And that's the power of a holy place. It has a substantial effect on consciousness. I've been speaking about that quite often, that a real society, a real family, a real person, material needs are taken care of. But the goal of the life is the purification of consciousness, not the material needs, but the goal of life. The goal of life is a change of consciousness. And then to do that, we live healthy and happily. So when you read in the ancient times how much the society, like in Vrindavan, wow, you know, the whole city closes down. Whole city closes down. Especially Brahmins, their whole occupation was consciousness. Therefore, the Brahmins would always be cleaning, because the visual, the objects of sight have such a powerful effect in consciousness. When the objects of sight are pure in their real state of being, when they're clean, when they're dirty, then it affects the consciousness. So, initially, Parashuram, who I don't know exactly the technicalities of many generations of demoniac kings, he had to annihilate. He took bath in what's now called Brahma Sarovara. And it describes that the Yadavas, Krishna is now king of the Yadav dynasty in Dwarka. And by the way, it's interesting, but this is science. This has nothing to do with, you know, some religion promoting it. But historians, they're finding the lost city of Dwarka off the bay of the present city of Dwarka. So the Yadavas come and then they enter the holy place with a certain shift in consciousness, a real conscious effort to move in consciousness from the center. And what is consciousness of the center means? When you look at things as objects for you, and therefore you look at objects as yours. Whether you own them or not, you want to possess them. And you try to. And that's material consciousness. We're trying to move the world around our desires, instead of moving ourselves in a humble way according to the will of God. So when one comes to a holy place, he realizes that there has to be this shift in consciousness. I also explained for that reason, at least in Vrindavan, is Lord Shiva in each direction of Vrindavan. Dameshwar, Chakleshwar, Gopeshwar, Kameshwar, and they're to protect the Dham, with Lord Shiva's presiding deity of the false ego. So that conception, I am centered, there has to be a concerted effort to move from that conception. Otherwise, one is at variance with the energy of the Dham, which is so much in the mood of service. Service puts something else in the center. Service puts something else in the center. And service moves oneself out of the center. So what do? They bathe in a holy river, which has a very amazing effect of purifying one of the false ego. Very powerful. You immerse yourself in this spiritual phenomena, and it changes your consciousness. Very amazing. And you observe a fast. You try to reverse the flow of the consciousness towards the sense objects, contacting which makes one feel the controller and the enjoyer. So you practice some vairagya. You control that flow of the senses and direct it towards the self, which is what a fast does. And then you give in charity, because money is honey. Everyone is after money for control. So you sacrifice your money in charity. So they're entering here, and they feed the Brahmins, and then it says here in text 9, may we be granted devotion to Lord Krishna. And that's the purpose of coming to the Dham. To get that spirit, to get that energy within one's heart. Then with the permission of Lord Krishna, their sole object of worship, the Vrishnis ate breakfast and sat down at their leisure beneath trees that gave cooling shade. So Krishna is Devataha, he's their deity, Krishna. And therefore, Anugata, therefore they're seeking permission. And that's what servant means. You're doing things to please. Therefore, you're focused on the desire of the object of your pleasure. And therefore, even in that association, when your own desires need to be fulfilled, you ask permission. It's the culture. And again, what is that ritual? What is that ritual? That ritual means to situate yourself in relationship to something higher than yourself. So all these rituals are putting God in the center, including asking permission. Now may I eat. And it's such a sweet feeling Because it's love. It's putting you in a subordinate position, but your objective is not to control. Your objective is love, whether for love you take a superior and inferior position. You're just concerned with love. And that's what a pure devotee is. The Yadavas saw that many of the kings who had arrived were old friends and relatives. The Matsyas, Usinaras, Kaushalya, Vidarbhas, Kurus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Ekis, Madhus, Kuntis, and the king of Anart, and Taro. They also saw many hundreds of other kings, both allies and adversaries. In addition, my dear king, they saw their dear friends, Nanda, the coward men and women, who had been suffering in anxiety for so long. Utkantita chirim. For a long time. And their anxiety was the separation from Krishna, which was so painful for them. And it never stopped. It never ended. Not there's a period of grieving and then you feel better. There's a period of grieving and you feel worse. So they're in deep, 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 deep separation. And that's setting the tone of this story because they're coming from Vrindavan and the Yadavs are coming from Dwarka, and Krishna is the Yadu king. So now they will see the Lord of their life. After the great joy of seeing one another, as the great joy of seeing one another made the lotuses of their hearts and faces bloom with fresh beauty, the men embraced one another enthusiastically. With tears pouring from their eyes, the hairs on their bodies standing on end, and their voices choked up, they all felt intense bliss. This is prema. These are all in relationship to Krishna. So that love and service is directly in relationship to God. And therefore, it's selfless and pure. And when it's selfless and pure, it opens up a conduit to the bliss potency. They hadn't seen these wonderful devotees in so long, and now they're seeing. I know when, by inconceivable mercy, Srila Prabhupada's grace, I get to live in Vrindavan every year. And I can honestly say it's not my plan. It's not like I want to stay in Vrindavan. I will go to Vrindavan. But I go for service. My service is there. And when my service is no longer there, then I'm no longer in Vrindavan. It's my service there. And I know when I go every year and I meet the devotees, the great devotees, that I have not seen for 5-6 months. There's such joy in relationship to Krishna. There's such joy. So they experience joy, not only joy, They think not only satisfaction, but joy, real ecstasy they experience. They experience a happiness that's not in the mind. It's the soul in conjunct with the energy of God. I know friends of mine whose happiness is definitely not in the mind, because from the external standpoint, they're in terrible suffering conditions. Pain, sickness constantly. But there's some other thing coming spontaneously. And that type of happiness cannot be described. It's so relishable. It's devoid of a sense of ego satisfaction. I am happy because I am great. Sensual satisfaction. I am happy because my senses are stimulated. Emotional satisfaction. I am happy in a certain type of love. But it's spiritual satisfaction. It's love, but pure love, reposed in God and reciprocated with love. So when you think of spiritual world and you think of their activities, it's manifest from a completely different platform. It's not vino rite dasati babato mati. It's not from the mental plane. It's from the spiritual plane. And there's a completely different quality. The women glanced at one another with pure smiles of loving friendship. And when they embraced, their breasts, smeared with saffron paste, pressed against one another as their eyes filled with tears of affection. And they all offered obeisances to their elders and received respect in turn from their younger relatives. So everyone is positioned to feel love. You have to be in the right position to experience love. And if you don't know that science of positioning yourself, you don't feel love. Situate yourself below your superiors, above those whom you protect and maintain, in equal proximity to your friends, and in intimate proximity in that relationship. Affection flows up, affection flows down, respect flows up. After inquiring from one another about the comfort of their trip and their well-being, they proceeded to talk about Krishna. So the subject matter is rasa. The subject matter is love. The actions are love. The dealings are love. And they're immersed in the ocean of love. And they set the example for us of what perfection is, and spark the inspiration in our hearts to attain that. The spiritual world is not a physical distance away, because God is everywhere. It can be accessed anywhere. by consciousness. Purport, these are the special dealings of Vaishnavas. Even the family entanglements that delude ordinary conditioned souls are no encumbrance for those whose family members are all pure devotees of the Lord. So all their relations, natural relations, to please, are service to pure devotees. Impersonalists have no capacity for appreciating these intimate dealings, since their philosophy condemns as illusory any kind of personal emotional existence. When followers of impersonalism pretend to understand the loving relationship of Krishna and his devotees, they only create havoc for themselves and whoever listens to them. Because they don't have the bhav and understanding, so they can only present it as mundane. Queen Kunti met with her brothers and sisters and their children, and also with her parents, her brothers' wives, and Lord Mukunda. While talking with them, she forgot her sorrow. Purport, even the constant anxiety of a pure devotee, apparently just the opposite of the impersonal shanti, can be an exalted manifestation of love of God that is exemplified by Srimati Kunti Devi, the aunt of Lord Krishna and the mother of the Pandavas. So again, think consciousness, see consciousness. It may be her sorrow was separation. Her consciousness was union. Because in separation, the intensified love brings one in direct contact with Krishna. And that's going to be one of the main themes of the story. This Vipralamba Seva, which is only there with the residents of Vrindavan who have intimate love for Krishna. There's no sense of distance from Krishna, that he's my Lord and Master. There's no fear that I'm dealing with God and I'll make a mistake. So this very, very intimate love creates a very deep feeling of separation that's not felt anywhere else outside of Vrindavan, called Vipralamba Bhava. So it's such intense separation because it's in such intense love. And therefore the separation intensifies the love. And therefore the separation actually intensifies both the happiness one feels and the union with Krishna. Because the separation from Krishna is only consciousness. So technically speaking, when one is fully deeply in Vipralamba Bhav, externally there's such anxiety, but internally there's great, such joy. And Krishna is there. Queen Kunti said, "My dear, respectable brother, I feel that my desires have been frustrated because although all of you are most saintly, you forgot me during my calamities. Friends and family members, even children, brothers, and parents, forget a dear one who providence no longer favors." So, very high stuff in her separation from Krishna. She feels so unfortunate and so useless. Which is why Vipralamba Bhav creates a special type of humility called Danya or other humility. Because the value that an intimate devotee has for Krishna is the value, Krishna becomes the value of their life. And therefore, in separation from Krishna, they feel they have no value. And that creates a deep sense of humility called Danya, which is the manifestation of prema bhakti, or the highest feelings of love. Danya. Friends and family members, even children, brothers, and parents, forget a dear one whom providence no longer favors. Srila Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur both comment that Kunti does not blame her relatives for her suffering, as she calls the most saintly person, and alludes here to her own bad fortune as the cause of her unhappiness. Now, her brother addresses her. Sri Vasudev said, "Dear sister, please do not be angry with us. We are only ordinary men, playthings of fate. Indeed, when a person acts on his own or is forced by others, whether a person acts on his own or is forced by others, he is always under the Supreme Lord's control." So her brother's trying to pacify her with some words of wisdom about Daiva, about fate. Everything's under the control of God. So what happens to us is very much the mercy and will of God. Even, it says here, what we do on our own. Because sarvasya chaham hiti sani vishto matasmitir gyanam apa. Everyone is situated in my heart, and for me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So both what we do and the inspiration to do it is dependent on Krishna, and what happens to us. So don't be angry with anyone, especially someone as saintly as Krishna's father and his relatives. There's a fate. How many times do we get angry at people when they're just actually instruments of our own karma? Therefore, when Marge Prickett heard that some Suja was beating a bull, a cow and a bull, his kingdom, he came out enthusiastically because the Kshatriyas, they like challenges. And when he came out, and he looked at the bull and said, "Who has done this?" The bull wouldn't identify the perpetrator because he understood ultimately, what happens to us is a direct result of what we've done. So basically, what happens to us, we're the cause of. And therefore, the bull, by not identifying that, not identifying the perpetrator, Marge Pritchard understood that he was the manifestation of Dharma. Because Dharma means to see the hand of God. And respond in service. So he saw. And harassed by Kamsa, we all fled in various directions. And by the grace of Providence, we have now finally been able to return to our homes, my dear sister. Sukadeva Goswami said, so again, this is all being narrated to Marge Prickett, who's in his last days of his life. And by hearing this, his faith, his trust, in the service of Krishna, which brings one to the platform of the eternality of the soul, is increasing. Harassed by Kamsa, we all fled in various directions. Now, Sukadeva Goswami said, so again, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating this. I love how Prabhupada says, I think it's a nectar of devotion or something. Some people see Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna's enlightenment of Arjuna, as someone talking to another. But I see a river of nectar flowing from the mouth of Krishna to the ears of Arjuna. Because again, it becomes the Bhagavatam and that message of the Bhagavatam. When one tries to hear, understand it carefully from a person who is purely presenting the message, and the experience of the hearer is not intellectual, even though he's comprehending the message. But the comprehension of that message is an experience of Krishna, because Krishna offers those words. So it's experiential. So it's a river of nectar. And Marge Prickett is hearing this and relishing it. Sukadeva Goswami said, Vasudeva, Ugrasen, and the other kings, Yadus, honored the various kings who became supremely blissful and content upon seeing Lord Achyuta. All the royalty present, including Bhishma, Drona, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and her sons, the Pandavas and their wives. So you have to hear about the spiritual all-stars. Kunti, Sanjay, Vidura, Kripacharya, Kunti Bhoja, Bharata, Bhishmaka, the great Najajit, Purujit, Drupada, Shalya, Drishtaketu, Kasiraj, Damagosh, Vishalaksha, Patila, Madhura, Kakeya, Yudhamana, Sisharan Bhattu, and Balika with his associates and their sons, and the many other kings subservient to Marge Prickett, all of them, O best of kings, were simply amazed to see the transcendental form of Lord Krishna, the abode of all opulence and beauty, standing before them with his consort. So what they saw the Vapu, the Vapu, the form of Krishna. And this Mataha, they are overwhelmed with amazement. Because why? He is the abode, Niketam, Sri Niketam, Vapu, Shore, Vishvaketam. Of what? Tree opulence and beauty. All these kings were subjugated by Maharaj Yudhisthira and were at the Rajasuya Yajna. The emperor would send a challenge horse around the world, around the kingdom, to all the other kings. And if they didn't submit, he'd go to battle and defeat them. But they would submit. After Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna had liberally honored them with great joy and enthusiasm, these kings began to praise the members of the Vrishni clan, Sri Krishna's personal associates. So it's a society of loving reciprocation. Which means people are praising the good qualities of others. People are honoring others. People are serving others. The king said, O king of the Bhojas, you alone among men have achieved a truly exalted birth. For you continually behold Lord Krishna, who is really, rarely visible even to the great yogis. So we'll read just a little few more verses about Krishna, and I'll stop for questions. Yadvishchati shrutanatu gamalam punati 28 and 29. Pandavanejanapayaschavachastashastam Ukala bhajatapakapi Yarangli Padma Svashota Shakir Abhivarshati no Kilatam Tadarshanas Sparshana Nupatya Pajalpa Sanyasanasana Sayona Sapinda Bandhu Yesham Grihe Nidavartami Vartatam Vasvaga Pavaga Biramasvayamasha Vishnu. So, the kings are now glorifying Krishna. His fame is broadcast by the Vedas, the water that has washed his feet, and the words he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures. These thoroughly purify this universe. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her. And thus she is raining down on us the fulfillment of all our desires. The same Lord Vishnu who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation has now entered into a marital and blood relationships with you who otherwise travel on the hellish path of family life. Indeed, in these relationships, you see and touch him directly, walk beside him, converse with him, and together with him, lie down to rest and sit at ease and take your meals. Okay, are there any questions? Okay, well, anybody's thinking of any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hare Krishna, Gail. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bo Maharaj. Sastradar.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
I got a Shastra and then Ananda Dulal. Thank you.
I have one question, Maharaj.
Please.
Maharaj, you know, you explained very nicely about that, you know, Viprabhubhav needs the consciousness that separates.
It's so chopped up, I can't hear you. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not in a speakerphone.
Okay, good.
Can you hear me now?
Wait, try it. Let's try it. Go ahead, speak.
You mentioned, you know, actually today I understood Viprabhubhav. You mentioned that, you know, it's in the consciousness that Krishna is not there. Because in Chatushruti Bhagavad Gita, the first verse, Krishna is telling, Aham sarvasya prabhava. Matta sarvam prapatyate iti matva bhajante mam bodha bhava samannita. He is everywhere. How can there be Viprabhubhav bhav? Can you hear me, Maharaj?
No, I'm answering you. Mayachitam idam sarvam jajat abhyaktamur. I am manifest everywhere by my energy, right? Well, let me just get that verse. We'll solve it by another Bhagavad Gita verse. Just let me find it. It'll take me a second. One second. Take me a second.
Okay.
I'm getting it right now. Getting it. It's 9:04. I'm already practically there. Okay. So Krishna says, "Mayatatam idam jagat sarvam jagat avyakta murtina, matstani sarva bhutenam nichaham teshvavastita." He says, "By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them." So, well, Krishna has pervaded everything by his energy, but he doesn't have to personally appear. In other words, because what it basically means here, these verses are very interesting in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is everywhere, but he doesn't have the defect of impersonality. He's everywhere, but he doesn't have the defect of impersonality. So he's also in one place where you may not be. And you can therefore be in separation. There's prakat and aprakat. There's what's happening manifest, and there's also what's happening unmanifest. So in the prakat, the manifest, he's not there. But at the same time, just like it says in the Isha Upanishads, tad ajati, tad naijati, tad dure, tad vantike, tanantarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasya vayata. I walk and I don't walk. I'm near and I'm far. I'm inside and outside. It's his inconceivable potency. So, for love, he appears as a person, and a person can go next door. Right? God's
yeah,
a person. So he can go next door. And then where is he? Right? Where is he? He's still everywhere, but not manifest to you personally. So for the purpose of Leela, Rasa Vai Saha, Ayachitad apasrayam, right? Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranayate mala apashyat purusham punam mayachitad apasrayam. He's exchanging with his energies, and the chief energy is Ladini, really, the pleasure potency, and that's love. So what facilitates love, that's how God manifests. If you being present before God would cause you to be envious, therefore you wouldn't see God anyway. Because the nature of envy is that you make lower something to satisfy your own desires. You see something less than it is. And therefore you don't see what it is. So consciousness affects it like that. So someone who has envy, then to not cause him any hate, God disappears. And for one whose love is very, very strong and powerful and would increase by the embankment of separation, God becomes unmanifest in another way. So it's all for the purpose of love. And as God has, the definition of God is that he has achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. He's able to do whatever is best for us, whether it's to be before us or to be separated. Ashlishyava padaritam padastumam madarshanam mamahatam karotuva. You may make me brokenhearted by your embrace, or you may be absent from my sight. So everything is for lila. The whole idea of our concept of an absolute reality is it's not a working absolute reality. It is a playing absolute reality. And therefore, play means God acts out of pleasure, not obligation or duty. And when you act out of pleasure, you may move here and there and move anywhere at your will. And therefore, God surrenders to his own lila shakti or his own pastime potency to just move him in a place to maximize everyone's love for him. And if that means disappearing from the envious, the humpakasya sarvasya, yoga maya, samabrita, he'll do it. And if it means becoming unmanifest to create this vipravamba bhav, to make us reach the depths of humility, he'll do it. And also appear within that bhav. That helped.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. Now you cleared everything. And thank you. I saw you in Union Square. You are chanting. So although we didn't have the opportunity to see you, but through the media we could see you.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing going on. And what a service to the Vaishnav community. What to speak of the world, that anyone that lives in New York, if they want service, they can just walk down to the kirtan and sit in the kirtan and chant. If they want service.
Yes.
You know, so it affords such a nice opportunity for service. And therefore, because I'm a devotee and I need to be engaged in service, when I'm in New York and I have some time, I also go and sit in the kirtan.
Thank you, man.
And by Ram Roy's mercy, he asks me to lead generally. So for 10, 15 minutes, I'll also lead. And have the experience of seeing the Bhakti Lata Beej entering people's hearts, perhaps for the first time. Someone will just stop and they'll just look at the kirtan and look at the kirtan, and look at the kirtan, and look at the kirtan. And you can see that seed of faith in prema enters their heart because they're appreciating it. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you for a wonderful class, Maharaj.
Henry, great to hear from you. Thank you. Are you back in D.C. yet?
I'm in L.A. I'm meeting Kala Chanji and Shradanjali to go to the Rath Yatra in a little while.
Oh, wow. How wonderful is that? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Good.
Hare
Krishna, Maharaj.
Hey, see how see how powerful Henry is. Just by chanting your names, you appear. Great to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Good. Just at that moment, I was thinking, wait, they're going to meet Henry at the Rath Yatra. Maybe they're missing the class. And I felt sad, but then you relieved my anxiety. So maybe you're in transit or something. Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Bhagavati.
Wow, Bhagavati. Hare Krishna. Are you in Gitanagari now? No.
Today I am. Yes, I was in Baltimore yesterday, and I came late last night. So haven't been to the temple yet, but I shall.
Oh, yeah. You know, I am in contact with some local people. They never met the Gitanagari near Harrisburg. Very, very interesting. Yeah, wonderful people. Very interesting. They're going to come, I guess, the following week. Yeah.
Yeah, for Sadhana Swami's retreat?
Yeah, they're coming. Yeah, they're actually... person is the chief coroner. He's a pretty devout Christian. Kind of very broad and trying to get the essence.
Well, that's a perfect time for them to come.
Yeah, former brethren. You know the brethren around there. I guess brethren. I think that's kind of like from the standpoint of the Amish. It would be like grouped Amish. But anyway, okay. Nice to hear from you, Bhagavati. Good.
I'm here.
Good. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Okay. I'll send you an email today to arrange when we'll meet, okay, for what we talked
Thank
about.
You.
Okay,
Thank
good.
You.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Sometimes people can't unmute. Okay, we'll end for today. Thank you.